Applying Cool Tech, number 28, June 28th, 2005. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Larry Skubkan. We got a show today, 28th for June 28th. Actually, when I think about that, though, I really started these back on May 18th. Or no, it was May 16th. I just didn't post the first few ones all at once until I could work out all my RSS and XML issues. So I'm not sure the date I actually got this stuff online, so I haven't really been doing two or three a day. And like I mentioned earlier, I don't plan on continuing to do one a day or two a day or three a day. Possibly around once a week when we eventually get calmed down a little bit here. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Tuesday morning early in Louisville. There's a cool breeze blowing. I don't know if you can tell, it's raining. Listen. And the reason I say that's gorgeous is because it has been hot here. It's only been, degree-wise, 92 or 93, but the humidity has been terrific, and it's very uncomfortable to stay out in it very long. You can just, well, yesterday, in fact, Liz brought a dog over that she's babysitting, a little wiener dog named Forrest, and I went out in the backyard and put some plugged up, well, not holes, but places this little dog could get out that my dogs couldn't. And I probably wasn't even out there 15, 20 minutes. And I was soaking wet. And of course, the walk home, you know, that takes me probably 40 minutes or so. And I really am drenched. I've got to drink a nice, cool, tall, cold drink of water and just relax a little bit when I get home from that walk. And of course, Jake, the crazy dog, he rubs his face on the floor and flops around when he gets in the cool. And I mean, he flops around like a fish, and I assume it's him trying to put his body on that cool floor and just get as much surface area as he can. Just a couple things I wanted to talk with you about this morning. And gosh, it's so early, I don't even have my phone or anything with me to check to watch the time, so we're just going to talk for a few minutes and let you have this. Many of you have asked what kind of equipment I use to do these recordings, quote, in the field. And again, what I am using is, it's a little MP3 player with a hard disk in it, a 20 gigabyte hard disk. And the name of this player is the Arcos Jukebox Recorder V2. Unfortunately, this thing is no longer being sold, but I understand that it's still available from time to time on eBay. A friend of mine bought one for just a little over $100. And the interesting thing about the Arcos Jukebox is that it runs a version of, you can download firmware called Rockbox, which is a really cool name, I think, from rockbox.org, that makes the, it doesn't make the Arcos menus accessible. It's a whole new interface, and it makes that interface accessible. And there's actually really quite a few advantages to that interface, and I do plan on giving a demonstration of that sometime very, very soon. The way it works, though, well, before I get into that, let me also mention that microphone I'm using is the Arcos microphone. It uses the line-in jack. There is a built-in mic on the Arcos unit itself, but it's picks up the hard disk powering up and spinning fact, the interview we did with the rest of the crew in the technology section was done with the built-in mic, and you can tell the quality is just not quite there. It's okay, but this is a excuse me. This is a powered mic. It uses a single AAA battery, and there is no on-off switch. In fact, if any of you know the answer to this, I'm assuming that when you unplug the microphone from the power, this mic's got probably about a 3-foot cord and then a little clip and a box that holds the battery and a little volume wheel on it, and then there's a wire from that that goes to your line in jack, and that's to, you know, bring the mic up, give it enough power to record from the line in jack. But I'm assuming that if you unplug that mic from the power, that makes the battery quit draining. I'm not sure about that, but we're going to do some testing on that and see if that indeed is the case. Even if you leave the mic in, mic plugged into the little control box, and that little control box is only, inch and a half in diameter, maybe half an inch thick, and it does have a little volume wheel on it. But even if you leave it plugged into that, gosh, it doesn't, you can use the mic for a couple of weeks that way even. But I've quickly realized that I think I need to keep a AAA battery, at least one, with me. You can tell on that Gold House tour, I believe the battery was on its low end on that one. So anyway, back to this Rockbox firmware. The unit itself does not have any text-to-speech. It uses recorded prompts for all its prompts, and what that means is that it can't read you the names of the files that are on the device, so instead what it does, it spells them out. So if you have Jim Croce 50th anniversary folder, it'll say, you know, J-I-M-C-R-O, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine, but it's a little tedious, a little cumbersome, a little hard to get used to. There is, however, a script, some software on the Rockbox website that will go through and use your computer's text-to-speech engine to create small MP3 files of all the names of the files on your Rockbox, and the firmware looks as it moves from file to file to see if there's an MP3 file with the same name as and I think it's there's some way to distinguish it actually from the MP3 that is the song, but it'll play that if you have that enabled in the firmware, and then if not, it'll go ahead and spell out the name of the file or folder, and you can also change it to just give you a number for each file and folder, which probably makes it a little bit quicker. I hadn't really used that feature too much. Probably makes it a little bit quicker to move from file to file. Oh, this glorious rain. It's so cool out here. Like I say, nice breeze blowing, and we really, really needed some rain. Okay, also, if you've been listening to the Desert Skies podcast, you know that the new version 2.1 of iPodder, the pod-catching software, was released, and it is indeed much, much more accessible. There's still a couple of issues. One thing, this is no big deal at all, but in most programs you can hit the Applications key to simulate a right-click. With iPodder, you have to hit Shift F10, and that's not unusual. In fact, I don't know how they really disabled the Applications key functionality. That kind of just comes with the game. So that's no big deal. But the thing that is kind of different is that when you are viewing the multi-tab dialog to go from subscriptions to downloads to directory, and even log if you have that tab enabled in the configuration, the focus, it's still a little squirrely. You know, normally you go to the tab control and you can just press the right and left arrows to move from page to page. With this one, however, when you press one of the arrow keys to move to another page, it takes your focus off the tab control and puts the focus, on the first control in that particular page of that multi-page dialog. So, no huge deal. It's just something to be aware of, and hopefully we can give them some feedback and see if they can get that issue corrected. You know, the real rule of user interfaces is that you never jerk the focus away from what the user, you know, what control the user has their focus on, and everybody breaks this to some extent. And in some cases you have to, you know, if you have something that needs your attention. And in fact, that's what I love about the SysTray. You know, you can get status messages that require your attention without actually taking your focus away from the function that you're performing. You know, there's nothing more annoying than to be typing away or working with something and all of a sudden you realize your focus is somewhere else and you didn't actually type what you thought you did. And that's not just an issue with blind people. That is a user interface law, almost. So, there's that. And the one other really cool thing in iPodder is the, now that I mentioned the directory tab, this was one of the things that PPR, Prime Time Podcast Receiver, had that iPodder didn't, in the that I discussed in the show I had with you about talking about how to get started with podcasting. The one thing PPR had was that directory, which really made it nice. Well, now iPodder has it too. And I will tell you, I have totally switched over to iPodder 2.1. I've actually got iPodder running on several machines with different feeds, and I guess I primarily did this because I was trying iPodder and PPR and trying to make sure my shows were coming down in various scenarios of how I posted them. And I really have kind of just let it stay that way. I've you know, still running on several machines. I have my main machine, well, I wouldn't call it my main machine, the machine I use to do email and software and stuff with down in the basement. I call it HP 1500, well, because it's a HP 1.5 gigahertz. And on that machine, I'll just, in the mornings, or, you know, if I'm not listening to podcasts when I go to bed at night, I'll put a flashcard in the flashcard reader on that one and run iPodder and have things go just straight to the flashcard. Well, on my, I also have a Windows Media Center Edition PC up in my living room that we use for TV, DVD, CD, or not CDs anymore. In fact, when we put a CD in, it just automatically rips it and puts it into a folder of my music. And in MP3 format, by the way, which I don't know if, remind me to get back to that, Media Player 10 has some nice features along those lines. But anyway, I have that Media Center edition running iPodder and actually just storing it to a shared folder on my home network. And it's got different shows on it that I don't necessarily update on a daily basis, but while I've got the card in the reader in the machine downstairs, I will copy I save things on the Media Center computer to a shared folder on it called Pod, and I'll just copy them over to the card reader that's on the basement computer. And by the way, too, one of the things I want to talk to you about at some point, you know, I've told you a little bit about the Tox software that runs on the cell phone, and that cell phone is Bluetooth enabled. And on my basement HP, I have a Bluetooth receiver, so I can actually take a picture and send it to that computer, and I have it configured so that it actually saves the things that it receives in the shared pictures folder on the Media Center computer. And my screensaver on that Media Center computer is a slideshow of photos in the shared pictures folder, which, by the way, has been an interesting observations have come out of that. You know, when there's nothing going on the TV or whatever, the screensaver comes up and shows the slideshow of the photos, and people really look at those. You know, I'm amazed that they'll sit there and watch them for hours at a time, adults and children alike. So just a little side observation there. Just for background information, on my home network too, I also have a Linux machine that's running Fedora Core 2, I believe it is. I need to get that updated. So I've got actually three machines running on it, and then it's also a wireless router, so when I bring laptop home or whatever, I have easy access to the internet. But I was also going to mention to you about Media Player version 10. If you haven't updated to that, there's a few things that are not as fast or as nice as Media Player 9 was, but one of the things they did do in Media Center 10 was allow you to encode to MP3s now, which you did not used to be able to do. And another nice thing too is when you put a CD in your drive, you know how you get the autoplay menu, what do you want Windows to do? Well, one of the options now is rip CD to, it might just be called rip CD to files or something like that, or maybe just rip. And it's that easy now to get your CDs into digital format. But what you'll want to do is go into Media Player under Tools and Options and tell it that you actually, well, if you want to use MP3, and I do, because I like to have them available so that I can play them on Bookport, or this Arcos doesn't do WMA either. So you go in, after you've gone into Tools, Options, and set it to encode into MP3s at the quality level you want, and you tell them where to put it. Like for instance on mine, I have it under Shared Documents, Shared Music, and it'll create a folder with the, it uses the CDDB, which is the database on the internet of song and artist names. So it uses that information, and by default, you can set it up to do it differently. It'll create a folder with the name of the artist, and then another folder with the name of the album, and then individual files with each song title as the files in that album folder. Now, one thing I've come to do, and I'm not sure whether I really like this or not yet, but I've been using a product called, what is the creator called? It's AlbumWrap, yeah. I actually like to put all the files of an album into one big file, and there's a program out on the internet available for, I believe it's only $10, called AlbumWrap, and then the AlbumWrap extractor is free. And gosh, I don't know why my reasons for keeping the whole album together. I guess just less files. And a lot of times I do want to listen to the whole album of an artist. And it turns out being a rather big file, you know, maybe 80, 90, 100 megabytes, because you've got the whole CD on one file. And then, like I say, there's a program called Album Wrap Extractor that's free that actually goes and extracts those back out of that one big file. But that one big file, you can play it. It's not good for, you know, if you want to, if you have some music and you want to burn a CD, it's better to do the individual files. I'm talking about an audio CD, because then the person on the, you know, playing the CD can move from track to track if they want to. And speaking of that, one of the things that I've really tried to do a little bit of and have had minimal success at is using an FM transmitter from, I think I might have mentioned this on a show earlier, using an FM transmitter to send the signal from the earphone on my book port and transmit it, you know, just a real short transmission to an FM station and pick it up on the car radio. And I've really only tried it in Liz's Suburban, but it really does not sound good there. I had originally wanted this mainly so that what I was intending to do is use the Media Center computer in the living room, because it's already got a wireless keyboard, but you know, I wanted to be able to participate in the conversations while I'm plucking around on whatever. But of course, when you got to have the speech up so loud that you're interfering with everybody's conversation, so I really just originally did that so I could put the FM transmitter in the earphone jack, I mean in the speaker jack on those computers, which would mute the on the Media Center computer, which would mute those speakers, and then use a little transistor FM radio to pick up the signal, my feedback. I did mention this, yeah. So there was we found a screw you could turn in this thing to increase the power of the transmission. So now I can actually use it in pretty much anywhere in the living room, but still does not work that well in the car. And I've heard of other people talking about using these in their car, so I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong here? There must be a better one out there somewhere, so if any of you do have any information about that, I would certainly appreciate knowing about it. Okay, I've got a lot of other things to talk about. Oh, it's quit raining. Well, barely sprinkling anyway. But I need to get back in here and do some research on a couple of things. Please do leave us any comments at our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. We did have a suggestion from a listener to add that to our website, and we did that. Our website, by the way, is currently www.aph.org/tech/bct/blindcooltech.htm. And the number for our comment line, if you would care to leave us some feedback or a comment, is 206-984-9203.
Hi, Larry Skukon. This is Lisa Hall in San Antonio, Texas. I just thought I'd send you a quick voicemail message to let you know how cool your site is on Blind Cool Tech through the American Planning House for the Blind website. For those who may not have known about this, you might want to put a link on your blind technology link that would link to the various points on the recordings that you have already made. You may want to put that as part of your suggestion. The other thing is, if you're given an email address, it would be good if you put the email address on the website as well, for those who probably didn't quite get the actual spelling of the email address and that kind of thing. So I'm just going to give you some suggestions on how you can improve it. Keep up the good work. I enjoyed the tours of APH, both part one and part two. The CNI dog, working with the guide dog, several of the demonstrations that you've done in reference to the book part. I'll be interested in finding out the equipment, the recording equipment that you've been using to doing your recording. And I know that you've done a lot in the area of those that are using the recorder software on your PC. But I'm interested in finding out what actual recording equipment you're using when you're on the road, and what type of microphone you use and what and that kind of thing. So I look forward to hearing from you again. I love to talk to you and give you my website. And hopefully we can get a chance to talk with each other. This is Lisa Hall from San Antonio, Texas, signing off for now. And we'll be at the National Federation of the Blind Convention next week, this coming weekend, from July 2nd through July 8th. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, Lisa. Well, I hope to see you while you're at the NFB convention. And while we are speaking of that, I'd like to invite any of you who are at the convention to participate in bowling with us next Tuesday night at 10 Pin Lanes. We start at 6 o'clock. The address is 210 Pin Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40207. And the number there is 502-896-1727.
Hello, Larry. This is Shane Jackson from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Just calling to tell you what an excellent podcast this sound scene tour was. And I was most fascinated by the carriage ride through downtown Louisville. It's absolutely outstanding. When I went to Austria in 1989 with our choral group, back when I lived in Gadsden, which is in northeast Alabama, I recorded a couple of carriage rides. One in Salzburg, I think it was, and one in Innsbruck. It's been so long now, but I recorded them using a little Sony micro cassette recorder with a lapel mic. It was just fantastic. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you what an outstanding job you're doing. Being someone who just started my own podcast and I'm about to start doing my own sound scene tours, what a wonderful time I had listening to yours. So we want more of them, more of your podcasts. So you take care and keep those podcasts coming. And thanks for the new Gmail address. I'll put that in my address book. Take care and all the best.
Well, all the best to you as well, and thank you. Also, if you have a web address or a URL or a podcast, when you call in, go ahead and leave that on the message, and we'll be sure that our listeners get to hear that. And finally, we got an email here. I hope, Scott, you don't mind me reading it, because it's a pretty interesting one. Scott and I were in the same class when he got his German Shepherd Payne, and I got Jake a year ago or so, as you can see from this email.
Larry, the podcasts are just great. Thank you for taking time with Blind Tech. I have learned so much about APH, and down to mowing the grass. Now I just have to get my wife to let me do some cutting of my own. She's always giving me hell for starting straight, and then getting out of line, and leaving clumps. It seems like APH really has its fingers in a number of pies, and it's great to see you guys looking at Linux as a serious project. I am pulling my podcasts down using a bash script and WGEDO Linux-based setup, and it's working very well. It's not as fancy perhaps as what Windows has, or I haven't found one quite yet, but I find it perfect for my purposes as my wife uses the Windows box more than I do. I mainly keep it around for the Bookport, so if you guys get a Linux-based BP gig going, sign me up, I'm there and aid happy to test. Matter of fact, I'm not a Linux expert, but if you ever need someone to assist with testing, let me know. I'm very good at breaking stuff. Grin, by the way, hope Jake and you are doing well. It's hard to believe it's been nearly a year, and a crazy one it has been. Pain is settling and well, and man is he a wacky dog. Well, take care, and keep up the good work. I'm enjoying my BP and haven't regretted 1 minute of the purchase. On one final note, I'm working with Verizon on the LG VX4500 and its accessibility. It's really, really slow going, just trying to keep on their radar screen, but each contact brings things just a little closer. Maybe I could do a podcast and send it to you for distribution once I see how things go with new release. Not much to report now, but maybe soon. I'm going to keep on their backs until something shakes loose, Scott.
Okay, that'd be great, Scott. Good hearing from you, and love to get a podcast from you. Trying to set up something now where people can submit longer pieces like that. And I'll have some more information about that later. And that is going to do it for Blind Cool Tech number 28, June 28th, 2005. I'm Larry Skutkan.